Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
I'm very excited about this next speaker. He trained as a physiotherapist before completing a PhD in neuroscience. Since the beginning of the pandemic, he's been recognised globally as a leading expert in the assessment, treatment, and underlying pathophysiology of long COVID. In 2019, he was named, and rightly so, Global Australian of the Year for his contributions to healthcare. Would you please give it up? All the way from New York for Professor David Petrino.
Hello, everybody. My name is David Petrino, and it is my pleasure to be here providing a response to recommendation 8 of the long COVID inquiry that has just occurred in Australia. You know, before I start talking about some of the issues around long COVID, post-exertional malaise, and some of the treatments that have been proposed in the past for such problems, I'd just like to point out that personally, I am a professor of rehabilitation and human performance at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, which is based in New York City. And my team's expertise tends to span the entire performance spectrum. We work with some of the highest performance athletes in the world, as well as some of the most disabled folks from various conditions, including myalgic encephalomyelitis, as well as motor neuron disease and other disabling conditions. So when we work with patients, we understand in a balanced fashion the benefits physiologically of exercise and other forms of physical activity. And that's why I hope that my research background will urge you to take my recommendations seriously with regard to long COVID and other post-acute infection syndromes. I also am the Nash Family Director of the Cohen Center for Recovery from Complex Chronic Illness, which is a center at Mount Sinai that treats people with post-acute infection syndromes, including long COVID, as well as myalgic encephalomyelitis, as well as associated conditions such as hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I'd like to point out as we start that long COVID is a post-acute infection syndrome. That's how we think about it in the clinic, meaning that it is a disease state that has occurred after someone has survived an initial acute infection, and then they have gone on to develop chronic and debilitating symptoms. Many post-acute infection syndromes exist after people have survived viral or bacterial infections. We often don't have names for the post-acute infection syndromes that exist after certain infections, such as Ross River virus or West Nile virus, but there is published evidence of them existing, and there is a wonderful review of that by Akiko Iwasaki and Chutka in Nature Medicine that was published in 2022. And even though we're learning more and more every single day about the very clear pathobiology of these disease states in post-acute infection syndromes, I have to acknowledge that we have had decades of medical gaslighting and abuse that has occurred to these patients at the hands of clinicians who have not adequately educated themselves in the settled science of these conditions. So with that, I really want to point out that first and foremost, long COVID is not what we would call a functional illness, meaning we have very hard evidence to show that long COVID is not a condition that is causing symptoms downstream of changes occurring in the brain. In fact, in a recent review that was published in Nature Reviews Microbiology in 2023, we were shown very strong evidence in support of 5 different potentially driving features that were pushing the pathobiology of long COVID. These features included immune dysregulation, microbiome dysbiosis, autoimmunity and immune priming, and vascular abnormalities, as well as neurological abnormalities. What we know And what we have hard evidence of, multiple peer-reviewed studies now, is that long COVID is a condition that affects every single organ system and causes severe disability by damaging different organs in the body, not simply by causing brain changes that then result in downstream bodily changes. And because long COVID is not a functional illness, we cannot treat it as a functional illness, i.e. using psychotherapeutic approaches as our primary modality for treatment. That is bad science, and it is not backed by the current consensus science in long COVID. So I also want to take a moment to talk about post-exertional malaise with my limited time. Post-exertional malaise is a cardinal symptom of long COVID and other post-acute infection syndromes like myalgic encephalomyelitis. It is behaviorally distinct from fatigue, and it is behaviorally distinct from exercise intolerance. They're not the same thing. Post-exertional malaise is also sometimes mistaken or misnamed using conceptual frameworks such as effort preference or deconditioning. However, we know that post-exertional malaise is different from these conceptual frameworks. A patient with post-exertional malaise is not choosing to use less effort. They are not using less effort because they're deconditioned by their illness. We now know that people with post-exertional malaise have physiological changes that occur that limit the amount of effort that they can willingly exert without causing physiological damage. And some of the most recent studies have shown us that this fundamental understanding of post-exertional malaise has led to the prescription of damaging behavioral and rehabilitation strategies such as graded exercise therapy over and over again over the years. And now with recent research, we're finally starting to understand just how damaging these prescriptions can be in the face of the pathobiology that we're starting to understand. For instance, post-exertional malaise is associated with heart failure. So the team out of David Systrom's lab that is based at Harvard University showed in 2023 that people with long COVID experience preload failure and reduced oxygen extraction during invasive cardiopulmonary exercise testing compared with healthy controls. Both preload failure and reduced oxygen extraction are clinically forms of heart failure. And so what we're saying is that these individuals are experiencing levels of heart failure that need to be addressed with precision medicine as opposed to graded exercise therapy, which could in fact, of course, be harmful or dangerous for these folks given the state of their cardiac health. Another recent paper that was just published in 2024 in Nature Communications was out of the Netherlands in Rob Wust's group. And his work showed that PEM is also associated with mitochondrial dysfunction that leads to muscle damage after exertion in people with long COVID. So when he got people with long COVID to exercise and compared what happened to their muscles to what happened in the muscles of people with healthy controls, he showed the emergence of amyloid proteins after exercise, indicating that due to mitochondrial dysfunction, people with long COVID were producing proteins associated with cellular damage. Again, indicating that post-exertional malaise is not just deconditioning and these people just get a little bit of soreness and a little bit of lactic acid built up after exercise. No, their muscle cells are actually being physically damaged by the exertion. So I have limited time, so I will leave it there. But I just want to point out that in light of these findings, we have to conclude that PEM is not something that can be cured or treated by exercise or cognitive behavioral therapy. This is a pathobiological process that needs to be treated with precision medicines and fresh treatment approaches. Thank you very much. And I hope that more research and better research will emerge from Australia. Thank you.
Professor David Petrino, what? A national treasure? No, a global treasure he is. I don't know about you, but I feel really emotional right now. I feel really angry. I love how he just says it like it is, that graded exercise therapy is bad science. And the fact that it keeps being pushed on people, as it was pushed on me early in the piece, I push back, but a lot of people don't have the energy or haven't done the research or believe their doctors and end up damaging themselves, possibly permanently, and regressing in their condition. It is devastating to think that this is still happening. So that was just an extraordinary presentation. And also about the five different features, how every single organ is affected, because when you're a sufferer of it, you can feel it right the way through your body. Incredible. We are so grateful for his voice.
You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And I hope someday you'll join us and the world.